Welcome to the Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast. Let's join our geeky hosts on this week's episode.
And welcome to another episode of Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast. Almost had to have a geek with some drinks. It works.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah. I'm Matt.
I'm Adam.
All right, we are virtual again today. Just because of scheduling issues, but that's okay. We're here to fill your ear holes virtually. So before we jump into this week's episode, make sure you find, follow, like, subscribe, comment, tweet, twoot, I don't know, all that good stuff at Geek Drink Pod. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, Discord. We're on virtualrealityladies.net. We're on OnlyFlan.
OnlyFlan?
That's like... actually a site. It's a parody site, and it's just a picture of a bunch of flan.
Oh, I love flan.
But we are on all those social media sites, folks, and make sure you like, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you think this week's episode, past week's episodes, and everything else in between. But before we dive into this week's episode, it's time to talk about drinks of the week.
Time to grab your beverage and join along as the geeks discuss the drink of the week.
Adam, what are you drinking tonight?
Back to my Breckenridge bourbon.
Nice. I am having a Palisade peach wheat.
Light.
I didn't realize light until I grabbed the can. I was like, well, that's okay.
It's very light.
It's Matt's a Monday and I can't, you know, we don't want to waste all the calories this week right now.
I understand.
So cheers.
Cheers.
That's tasty. All right, folks. Well, it's also time to talk about our topic of the week now that we've had a few a sip or two.
What are the geeks going to talk about this week?
And what are we talking about this week?
Ready Player One.
Yeah, Ready Player One.
Isn't that right? I'm like, did I get it right?
Yeah, I did. Ready Player One, or as I like to call it, the Easter egg geeks orgasm.
Or the look at this reference. Look at that reference. Look at this reference. Did you get this?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Ready Player One. It is a 2018 film that had a $175 million budget. It brought in over $607 million. I would call that a success. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I just wonder how much of the budget was for licensing of the references.
You know, I'm not, I actually probably not as much as you would think. I believe a lot of the references are Warner Brothers properties.
Well, it's like they had like, I mean, I get like Steven Spielberg can have his stuff and
yeah.
I know he works well with Robert Zemeckis. But yeah, I was just like, okay, you got King Kong, you got
the Iron Giant, you got a
DeLorean, you got everything.
You got the Shining. Yeah, you've got all kinds of fun stuff. So yeah, so like you said, directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Zach Penn. So for those who don't know, Zach Penn is a writer for a lot of films of our youth. He wrote Man in Black.
And he also did the better X-Men.
X2, yeah, he did X2. And X1 and X2. 3.
But X3 we don't talk about ever.
He again. Also co-wrote The Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton version, The Avengers. And recently, besides what you saw with Ready Player One, he also wrote Free Guy. One of my favorite movies, though, that he is a writer on, and you'll know why it's one of my favorite movies. He was a co-writer on Behind Enemy Lines.
Yeah, that's the one with Owen Wilson. Yeah, I remember that one.
That's a fun one. All right. So yeah, interesting cast we got going here. So we've got some kind of newer faces to geek audiences, as well as some returning favorites. Obviously you've got Ben Mendelsohn. Awesome
Classic.
actor.
Highly underrated.
Highly underrated. For those of you who are geeks like us, best known for geekdom, being in Rogue One, also being in
Captain Marvel.
Marvel. Yeah, sorry, I started to think Marvel. He plays Talos, the Skrull.
Yeah.
He was a small role in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, it's a
He
deep
was
cut.
barely noticeable in that one, except for the
Yeah.
fact that he was like fearful about getting killed by Bane.
Yep. You've got Ty Sheridan. So best known to geekdom, he is Cyclops in the younger X-Men series with the not
Also,
what I'm trying to say
the
not so great
X-Men
because
that we don't talk about.
yeah,
Why is it
X-Men
that they
Apocalypse
haven't
and
gotten X-Men like really well? They have not done it great in
no.
a while.
No, not
It's just
since
Wolverine or
Days of Future
Deadpool, but
Past. Well, X-Men
yes.
itself, Days of Future Past. For yeah, for the X-Men mainline franchise. But also, so he's been in those two films. Really kind of his biggest things, besides A Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, which was a fun little film.
Yes, that is fun.
And then you've also got Olivia Cooke. Olivia Cooke, this was kind of her big role. She was also in Bates Motel, and she's also in the House of Dragons. So for some deep cuts here for deep dumb. And finally, the last two we have to mention. Kind of don't want to mention them, but T.J. Miller's in this one. He's got his own issues that we're not going to dive into.
We won't touch upon that. Which is something he should have said.
Yeah, I'm about to say it's something he should have done. And then we've also got the amazing, very talented Simon Pegg,
Of course, yes.
who
Simon
we've
Pegg
covered a
is.
lot recent when we did a lot of got Edgar Wright films.
Edgar Wright films, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I blanked on his name, but yes, Edgar Wright films. So
It's late in the day. We're sleepy people.
Yes, we had a busy weekend. But yeah, so let's
Do
dive into Adam. Ready Player One,
you
what
want
was
to
your
tell
initial?
people what we did this
Oh,
weekend?
I think that's gonna be my geek wreck of the week already, so we'll get into that
Oh,
in a minute.
okay. All right. We'll get into that. All right. Oh, sorry. What was your question?
So what was your initial thoughts after seeing this film?
Was all right. I don't know. You hear like, oh, Steven Spielberg is directing a film. I don't know if this is just a generational thing for like, you kind of hear Steven Spielberg is directing and you're like, oh my God, it's like Jurassic Park or Saving Private Ryan and all that. And then it's like, okay, it's this. It's okay. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
Not Schindler's List, but
No, I
right.
mean, it surprises me that he directed it. When you watch it a few times, and I particularly like the film, it doesn't really fit his style in terms of what he's directed recently, but it does fit his style when you think about, these kind of epic backdrop of a film. You've got, Jurassic Park, it's not his, like you said, it's not Jurassic Park's no Schindler's List. It's no,
Yeah, I just could see this directed by a few other people. It would have been the same. It's
yeah.
not like, oh, this is Steven Spielberg being master of his craft. It feels like, I don't know, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull to me a little bit. It's not that bad, but it's not, it doesn't blow my socks off. It doesn't rock my Pokemon bed sheets. Hey,
Well, did you
JD.
ever read the books?
Nope.
Read the book, I should say.
But I know Ernest Cline actually wrote one of my favorite nerdy films. It's a film called Fanboys.
Yes.
It could have been a wreck of the week, but well, just bonus wreck of the week at that point. But real funny film. So, but yeah, he wrote that. So I'm like, I know his work. But
Yeah, and so he co-wrote the story, the screenplay for this with Zach Penn. So, it's kind of nice to see, and I think that's why it translates so well from the film or from the page to the film, is you've got the writer of the source material actively working on the script. So it's not like I'm not going to throw it out there as the best example, but a Stephen King film where or a Stephen King novel where someone's made it into a movie. Stephen King is usually pretty heavily involved in the movie part of it as well, but I mean that's the best
Especially
quick
with
thought I can
Frank
think of.
Darabont.
Yeah.
That's Stephen King's like best co-collaborator at that point.
Yes. But for me, Adam, I think it follows the same tried and true formula of you've got the underdog kid, obviously Ty Sheridan in this one playing I can't do Parzival.
Parsable is his avatar or whatever, but
His real name's Wade Watts in the film. It follows that tried and true method of the kind of the underdog kid who goes on this quest and ends up being the big hero of the film. He gets the girl who's Olivia Cooke playing Artemis. He's got his crew that helps along the way. You've got Sho, you've got I'm trying to think of the other person's name.
Takashi
Beato. Yeah.
or something like that. I can't
Yeah.
remember, but he was the one that
H.
summons the
Yes,
Gundam.
H. Oh yeah, and yeah, Dialto, Sho, yeah, Sho, yeah. But so you've got these their crew. They're called the High Five. They're trying to save the virtual reality world. It's kind of like if we sent JV on a quest to save the Mushroom Kingdom, and we were his little friends that came along the ride. At which point, I dibs toed.
I actually want to make a movie where JV and us go on a journey to save the Mushroom Kingdom.
That would be
It'd be
hilarious.
great. It would be great. I think it'd be, I mean, though I did enjoy the Mario movie, but I think that would be better.
Yeah, it'd be really funny. So yeah, you've got this like I said, it's an Easter egg orgasm. We talked about it a little bit. You've got
It's like
Halo in there, you've
it's
got
very like heavy-handed, like Easter egg,
Well, and that's
Easter
the way
egg.
the book is written too. The book is written so heavy with Easter egg references and pop culture references. It's kind of fun though for I think for this film especially just being able to watch it and pick it out. I mean, you remember in that epic fight scene where they're on the planet Doom and you've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the background. You've got a bunch of Master Chiefs running through the battle. The Lorians, and then you've got all these
Gundams, you got Godzilla, you got or
yeah you got
Mechagodzilla.
Mechagodzilla, you've got the T-Rex, you've got I mean, you just name it, you've got it in there. One of my
Yeah, I
favorite
just feel
things
like
though,
it's kind of like that was like part of the thing that ruined it for me was I was just like, oh, I noticed this, I noticed this, and then I'm like, how many people actually have seen some of these movies? Like kids or all that. Like I guess I should ask you this. Had you heard of Buckaroo Banzai before this film? Because
but
that was like one of my favorite films ever. And I'm like, oh, this kind of feels like it's cheapening like the reference. It just doesn't, I don't know. Kind of, some of it was very cringy to me.
Okay, fair enough. You know, I think if you watch it more than once, or the first time you're watching, you're just like, wow, cameo, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. Like you said, I think on subsequent viewings, you kind of start not noticing as much and not actively looking for each little Easter egg. But I think, considering the fact that the film is talking and the whole film is about finding Easter eggs, is kind of meta in that sense, where it's, hey, this is a film about Easter eggs, and we're going to look for Easter eggs. I know you're not a huge fan of the film in general. What do you think of the visual effects?
It's not that I just was like, eh, it
Well,
was okay.
yeah, I'm not
It's
saying
fine,
you hate
but
it. It's no Rebel Moon to
visual
you.
effect, yeah, like, oh, you know me and Rebel Moon. I can't wait for that sequel to come out. Give me
And
the
you heard
Zack
it here, folks.
Snyder
We're watching it.
cut. I want to throw up. Slow-mo of the movie. No, but it's decent. Like, it is much better than a Rebel Moon. But no, I think the visual effects are great. I mean, you'd expect nothing less from Spielberg and his team.
Oh yeah, it was nominated for an Academy Award for the visual effects.
So I would not like I say, I'm not saying I hate the film. It's okay, but not like not Steven's best work. And so, but yeah, visual effects. I liked the look of the virtual world. I liked how he created the avatars of these players, because they did take, I felt like he took things from each of the actors or and the performers and just was like, oh, I'm gonna throw this in here to make them look sort of familiar when you see them in the real world. Like, you can make that connection, is
Okay.
kind of, yeah. So I like the fact that he did that. It was nice. So
So,
yeah.
as we're talking about the visual effects, so this film was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects, did not win. This was the year that we had this film, Avengers: Infinity War, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Christopher Robin, and First Man. And First Man was the winner. Yeah.
Really? Go figure. I
Talk
thought
about a heavy
Avengers
hitter
would
year,
have.
though.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, but I'm like between this and Avengers, heavy hitter. I didn't think too much of Christopher Robin, but what do I know? Magic work here.
No, you're a volunteer, just like me, Adam. We don't get paid. You're just a
This is true.
volunteer.
Oh, this is true.
We're doing this, folks, for community service hours.
Yes,
When the parole
we're
officer
work
calls about me and Adam's work ethic,
working things off at
yeah,
this
we're doing a podcast to work off our crimes.
Wouldn't that be
So,
nice?
one thing that I want to kind of touch about that kind of was very interesting about the film and interesting about the book in general, and it's kind of a hyper realistic take on society is so these loyalty centers, people who can't afford the gear or the can't afford to make payments on all this on the tech they want to have to make these to join the virtual world and to go experience these experiences end up like pseudo slaves, or I guess slavery is not the best word, indentured servitude, I guess is the word I'm going to use on this one.
Yeah, or like drones. Like, that was the thing I got from, especially like with the corporation, where it was just like you saw like all these people like just doing the same thing, and it's like they're drones at that point.
Yeah, but it's actually kind of one of my favorite parts. I not favorite parts. One of the like I think cool aspects of this the world and the company that they're all these drones for this IO is when they had to when they all died, when they're in that giant fight sequence and they all switch spots real fast and get into the next unit and keep going. You know, it was it kind of it felt to me like a very high-tech stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Easy
Almost like
dead, but
there's
easily replaced.
yeah. And almost like there's a consequence for
Oh yeah.
dying, which I liked, but yeah, kind of. I
You
wouldn't
know,
say
I mean,
permadeath, but
if it's not permadeath, you just lose all your loot and all your coin. So let me ask you this, Adam, as a gamer, if this was something we could do in real life, and maybe not just a virtual reality, just a game in general, but the minute you died, you lost everything you've ever collected in the game. Pro or con?
Gosh, I would say con, because I mean I'm a big fan, and people who are watching slash listening, I'm a big fan of like single player experiences, like the whole
Yeah.
like Hogwarts Legacy, Mass Effect, Elder Scrolls, like those sort of things are like really big to me. And I don't think I would be into this. I think the people that are like, oh, I'm gonna get Call of Duty Battle Pass and sign up for this season thingy, and it's like they'd be more into this sort of thing, whereas I'm like, I'd just rather a nice story and challenging combat, but not like, oh my God, you're gonna lose everything.
You know, I bet you could find something in that like that in the in this virtual world. You can find your own little planet with.
I'm sure it's there, but it's just I don't I get like more like I get the Call of Duty bro vibes from this
Okay.
where I'm like and I'm like no shame against people who like Call of Duty. I liked Call of Duty for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, recently it's like, well, apparently the new campaign of the new game is shorter than like an episode of Game of Thrones, apparently. But that's a joke, folks, that Christopher Judge made. But no, I'm just sort of like, look, I more out of a gaming experience than just grinding for loot. Like I've tried Destiny, and I don't know if that's something you've gotten into or
I did a little bit in the first one, but after I think I put in a
yeah.
couple hundred hours, I was like, I can't, I don't want to grind and
Couple
just.
hundred hours? Jesus Christ, Matt.
The first Destiny, I never picked up the second one. Yeah. It
I
was
did
fun at
not.
first, but then yeah, when we got to the, all right, I don't remember what you call them, when it was just, you know, the here's the next expansion, here's the, you know, whatever it may
Yeah.
be, you need to be this light level, and you need to have, you know, you start looking for this kind of gear. It's like, you know, I just.
And that's what I feel like this, like, not saying that this movie is that, but it's like, that's what it kind of is. Like, oh, this is my clan. We're gonna do this. We're gonna grind to get this. We're gonna, and I'm like, eh. I just am like, that would not be my experience in the Oasis. Well, Matt, what would your experience be? Just Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, you know, Metal Gear Solid. I mean, I do like you said, I do enjoy the first person games as
Snake.
well, and the story modes. I've always
Snake.
been a story mode person. You know, my
Your
you
default
look at
mode
the
is
Spider-Man
easy.
games, you look at the what was that?
Your default mode is easy.
No, I mean, I'm
Or
in it for the story. I'm not in it for you know, the challenge is always nice depending on the game, but for the most part, it's all about the story and learning more about, you know, the lore. And that's kind of always been my aspect, especially when it came to like Metal Gear and those kind of games.
when I finally get you to play Fallout or Elder Scrolls Skyrim, we gotta do a stream of that because I'm going to be the most annoying person on your shoulder, being like, Matthew, you need to do this. This is what the lore is. I know it all.
Yeah, when I don't have a kid, or she's a lot older and I can devote more time to that, Adam will talk about it.
You have a kid regardless. I mean, it's
don't have a kid actively glued to my hip at the moment.
Yeah. but I think a stream, folks out there, should we do a stream? Put your comments down below. And would you be interested? I do say if I'm going to get you into Fallout, wait till later this year, because I think the show next gen updates coming out, so it's going to be like optimized for like PS5. I've played through the game. that's a game I've put hundreds of hours into as well, but I would say like let's wait till then.
Okay, so you know, before we jump into some hot takes here, I do want to throw out that they are actively working on a sequel for this.
Well, I know the guy wrote
Ready Player Two. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, again, anyone could direct it. Doesn't need to be Steven Spielberg. Robert Zemeckis could do this. But I know he's like a little choosy about his projects.
What makes this interesting is, so Ready Player One, the book, came out in 2011, and it was already a film within 7 years. The sequel, Ready Player Two, came out during COVID in 2020, and the adaptation's already in the works for the second one. And I do recommend, if you are a audiobook fan, I would recommend listening to the audiobook version of this this book. It's read by
Check us out on Audible and all
that. But it's Will Wheaton.
Trying to get sponsors, Matt.
So Adam, let's go ahead and dive into some hot takes about Ready Player One.
Hot takes. What are they going to say this week?
So, I mean, I'm not saying I did not like this film. Like, it was enjoyable. But my hot take, I guess, is Steven Spielberg's done better sci-fi. And I guess this will kind of lead into a question. What do you think is Spielberg's like best sci-fi that he's done? And there is tons pick from.
I mean, but are we talking about
I have mine?
Well, give me yours, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to debate in my head, is sci-fi considered like Indiana Jones-ish kind of films or not?
Oh, no, not that. Like, not the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, God, no.
I would say my personal favorite of, like, in terms of, I think, and again, like, this kind of goes back to our discussion we had last episode, like, best sci-fi, I would say Minority Report.
Okay.
Like building a world and realizing the world. So I guess, yeah, Matt, like, what's your favorite like sci-fi film that Steven Spielberg has directed?
I would have to say West Side Story. I'm kidding. No. you know, War of the Worlds was kind of fun.
I liked that a lot. Like, it's weird. I was like looking this up the other.
I think I lost you there, buddy. Yeah. Oh, there you are.
And oh, hello.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It's not very, it's not very highly rated on IMDb and stuff. And like,
That's okay.
I was just like, I really enjoyed.
I would say my favorite.
I thought it was great.
My favorite Spielberg sci-fi film. I'm going to go classic. I'm going to go E.T.
There we go. I give you a big old thumbs up for that one.
It's between E.T. and Lincoln.
I mean, I will say Close Encounters of the Third Kind is a film.
It's so.
That traumatized me as a kid. And I don't like to talk about it, but it's really good, but it's terrifying.
Yeah.
The kid getting abducted. That's what did it in for me. So,
you know, I think my hot take on this, Adam, is going to be just. I wish, and I know you're going to be like, oh, God, I wish there was a little bit more in terms of Easter egg references besides, like, and I'm talking about when he gets to the video game part of it, not so much the film. You know, the biggest video game references you have, really, especially at the end, is the Atari references.
Yes.
I wish there could have been a little bit more of the, maybe some Nintendo or some of that kind of stuff in there. I understand from licensing point of view why there wasn't. Just kind of a thought. But my other big Easter egg is going to be, I really, really wish they didn't have Simon Pegg voice the curator in the museum, because it kind of gave it away that he was influencing a little bit of the events.
Yeah.
Personal preference, I think they could have done something different, you know, had a different person doing it. But at the end of the day, does it break the film for me? No.
No, I think if they did it a little differently, where it was like, oh, he flips the coin at the end and that's like your gotcha moment for it would have, I think that would have been like, whoa. But yeah, it's like the second I heard the curator, I'm like, that's Simon Pegg. And then you see Simon Pegg on the screen, you're like, oh, I get it. A little hand-fisted, right. I guess, but
that's okay. All right, folks, before we run out of time today, we do have to get to our Geek Wreck of the Week.
It's time for the Geek Wreck of the Week. What are the geeks going to recommend?
Adam, I'm not sure if you're going to wreck what I wreck, but I'm going to recommend what we did this weekend.
You know, I know the pre-wreck and wrecks to the rectum.
Okay. So
that's the joke.
Hey. I'm just leaving that one alone. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we went to see a burlesque show this weekend. Star Wars burlesque show. We went to see The Empire Strips Back.
Yes, it was excellent.
It was a good time had by all.
I loved it. I don't know how your wife, like...
Oh, she enjoyed it. Oh, okay, she enjoyed it thoroughly.
Great, because I know, like, Caitlin and I were like, woo!
Megan's time. Megan's a lot more introverted, so she doesn't quite do that. But yeah, Understood. We've been talking about it for a few days.
I love the lighting. Like, I know that's the weird thing to say, but like the light design that they did. Like,
oh yeah.
Not showing you so much, but showing you enough.
My only gripe with this performance was I wish there was an Emperor Palpatine dance. That's my only gripe. And that was my wife's gripe too. I was like, man, I wanted to see a Palpatine.
I wanted a Tusken Raider.
But you got a Tauntaun, Adam. You got a Tauntaun.
Yeah, we got a Tauntaun and Wookiees. But hey, it was a fun time. I had a really great time with that.
Yeah, so if it's coming to a town near you, The Empire Strips Back, highly recommend. Yes.
Check it out.
Great soundtrack.
I only recognized a few songs, but the Massive
I Spotified it.
Oh, no, I'm on Apple Music. Sorry.
Well, I mean, no, you can get what the list is on Spotify and then transfer it over.
Okay. But the Massive Attack song was. Yeah. I'm like, Angel, I know that one.
Adam, what is your record this week?
I'm going to actually recommend a very late night talk show. Taylor Tomlinson's After Midnight. It's actually super funny. Like, she's a super talented comedian. And it's just kind of this like afternight talk show that's produced by Stephen Colbert. But I would highly recommend anyone who's wanting to laugh at the end of the night. I mean, who doesn't? But it's like the perfect thing. Like my girlfriend and I, like we put it on just before we go to bed. And like the other episode, they had one where this guy like totally broke Taylor in terms of like comedy. And she was just like laughing hysterically. And we were laughing hysterically. It was great. So After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson, check that out, folks. If you like to laugh, go for that.
All right.
Also, you'll get to know some up and coming comedians. So,
all right, folks. Well, now you hear what Adam wants you to watch. You know what tickets we need you to buy: Burlesque and After Midnight.
Yeah, and there you go.
Just a few more of these, you'll be good to go.
We didn't get home till after midnight. It was we're then, like old people.
I know. Like, then we had to let the dogs out, same. Feed them, and wait for them to digest. And yeah. So it was definitely a 1:30 p.m. bedtime, which is a.m. bedtime.
Yeah, we're old people, so folks.
Yeah. Well worth it.
Yes, it was like, yeah, I will say like, yeah, if you can check out The Empire Strips Back, it was a ton of fun. Had a great time. So,
yep. All right, folks. Well, that does it for this week's episode of Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast. Make sure you find, follow, like, subscribe, comment, tweet, tweet, send us your Wookie thongs. I don't know. At Geek Drink Pod on social media platforms. Should have
bought one of those, right? Just for you, Matt. Just for you.
I could probably just shave my beard and make my own for free.
You probably could, but
and it might smell better than a Wookiee. Initially. I shampoo like, the I beard.
I think Wookiees smell very woodsy.
Musky. Very musky, I think.
Musky and woodsy.
All right, well. You heard it here, folks.
Where are we going at this point?
I'm bailing on this now, Adam. We are no longer discussing what your Wookiee smells like.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Adam's Wookiee smells like dude wipes. Not a sponsor yet.
Not a sponsor, but hey, dude wipes. When your dude
needs
to be wiped. Dude wipes.
Oh, Lord. All right, folks. Well, that does it for this week's episode. Follow, like, subscribe, comment at social media platforms at Geek Drink Pod. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think of this week's episode, what you think Adam's Wookiee really smells like, and much, much more.
Yes.
Thanks again, guys, for joining us. We went off the rails. Oh, Lord. We went off the rails pretty quickly here at the end. We're going to get out of this before we... before the Wookiee Association, the Wookiee Association comes and sues us.
the World Wookiee Life Fund.
Before Adam starts shoving his Wookiee in Caitlin's face and going, what does it smell like? Oh, tell the people what it smells like.
That is not cool. I was trying to make a joke about the WWF, like Wookiee Wildlife Fund.
Or is it the Wild Wookiee Fund?
Either one, but you went off the rails at that point.
Well, yeah, I know. All right, folks. Well, thanks for joining us. Everyone have a great geek week.
Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Have a Drink with Some Geeks podcast. Tune in next week to see what our geeky host will discuss next week. Goodbye. Geek Drink Pod 2024.